when I was in revival down in next to Paducah. But it's good to be here this morning. We're from Eastern Kentucky. And how many of you have a copy of the Word of God? Hold it up. Hold your Bible up. Hold your Bible up. Okay? Amen. Hold them up big and high. Amen. Shake it in the devil's nose. Only thing we can fight the devil with is the Word of God. Amen. Now, turn in your New Testament to Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23. And we'll read a portion of Scripture here this morning. And I'll preach a few minutes for you. In Luke 23, let's stand together as we read the Word of God. We'll begin reading at verse 32. And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They parted his raiment and cast lots, and the people stood beholding. And the rulers also with him derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, This is the King of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. You may be seated. I want to preach this morning on this subject, the three crosses. Paul said in Galatians 6:14, God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. John declared in John 3:16, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Paul made this statement in Romans 1:16. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. This morning, salvation is none of man, but it's all of God. I cannot save myself. I cannot keep myself. I cannot secure myself, but all God is able and adequate and sufficient by His grace to save us, to secure us, to seal us, to supply us, to sanctify us, to satisfy us, to strengthen us, and sustain us. Salvation in the Bible is always all of God, none of man. It's 110% totally of God. And so that's the message of the Bible from one end to the other. The Bible said in 2 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 1, Samuel made this statement, My heart rejoiceth in the Lord, because I rejoice in thy salvation. Samuel let us know that it's God's salvation and not ours. It wasn't us that made salvation possible, but it was God. Samuel said, exalted shall be the God of the rock of my salvation. Job 13:16 said, he also shall be my salvation. David said in Psalm 3 and verse 8, salvation belongeth unto the Lord. He said in Psalm 62 and verse 2, he only is my rock and my salvation. Jonah chapter 2 and verse 9, Jonah declared that salvation is of the Lord. Luke 2 and verse 30, Simeon, who was the high priest of that day when Jesus was born, when Simeon the high priest saw the Christ child, he made this statement, mine eyes have seen the salvation of the Lord. So the Bible teaches that salvation is all of God, fully of God, totally of God, completely of God, uniquely of God, none of man, all of God. And so the question comes to our mind today. Have you passed from death unto life? In other words, have you ever been saved? Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? If you ever want to go to heaven, you've got to be saved. You've got to let Jesus come and live in your heart. Can you remember a time when you asked the Lord to forgive you and invited Him into your heart to save you? Can you remember when your life changed? Can you remember when you came alive in the Lord? When the Holy Spirit took up His abode in your heart? See, the Bible teaches, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. When you get saved, the Spirit of God comes to live in your heart, to lead you, to guide you, to direct you and instruct you in the things of God. Now, the Holy Spirit cannot live in your heart and you not know it. You see, when you get saved, everything begins to change. That is, people that you used to dislike, you start liking. People that you used to hate, you begin to love. Things you used to do that was wrong, you don't want to do them no more. You know why? When you get saved, your priorities change. You want Jesus to become number one in your life. Am I talking to some boys and girls today that don't go to Sunday school? You don't go to church. You don't go to Sunday school. You don't go back to church on Wednesday night and Sunday night. Let me ask you something. Have you passed from death unto life? If you've ever been saved, God puts a desire in your heart to live for Him. And He wants to be number one in your life. Where is Jesus at in your life today, boys and girls? Is He number one? Or is He number two? Or number three? Or number four? Or number five? Or number six? Or number seven? Or number eight? You let all these other things come between you and God. But Jesus wants to be number one in your life. You know the reason a lot of people have never been saved and a lot of people's never trusted Christ as their Savior? It's because they want to be number one in their life. It's them, and they don't want nobody else telling them what to do. But all Jesus wants to be number one in your life. A lot of people live to magnify themselves, to glorify themselves. But all when you get saved, you want to please God. You want to magnify God. You want to glorify God. Now, in the scripture that I read to you a moment ago about the cross and the two crosses on each side of that cross where the Lord died, I want us to look at that for just a moment, would you? A lot of people think that story is about a good thief and a bad thief. The bad thief goes to hell, but the good thief goes to heaven. But all I want you to know today, boys and girls,
That story's not about a good thief and a bad thief, for there are three crosses on that hill that day called Calvary, called Golgotha, the place of the skull. And those three crosses had a specific purpose in mind. My friend, first of all, there was the cross of rebellion. Look here in verse 39 of Luke 23 where I read from. In verse 39, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. In other words, that cross over here on the left, we could call that the cross of rebellion. And my friend, rebellion is what sin really is. If you're saved today, you don't rebel. You don't want to rebel against God. You want God's will done in your life. You say, preacher, I always like to rebel. Then you need to get saved. Because that thief on that cross that day, he was rebelling. He said, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. Listen at the Bible in 1 Samuel 8 and verse 7. God said to Samuel, they've not rejected thee, Samuel, but they have rejected me that I should reign over them. The Bible said in Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 26, nevertheless they are disobedient and they rebelled against me. You know, the Bible says rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. If you're rebelling against the authority of God, then you need to be saved. Are you like that thief today? You don't want church. You don't want nothing to do with God. You don't want to go to heaven. Why don't you just quit rebelling? That's what that thief was doing. He was on the cross of rebellion. But oh, would you look over to the right this morning? There's a cross of repentance. This cross was a cross of rebellion. But all this other cross was a cross of cross of repentance. He said, you're in verse 42. Look here. He said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Now that's what sinners must do. We've got to repent in order to be saved. My friend, listen, the Bible said Jesus made this statement. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repentance is a military word, which means an about face. In other words, you turn around completely and go in the opposite direction of the way that you're going. I want to ask you today, have you repented? Jesus said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. The Bible said in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people which are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face, here it is, and turn from their wicked ways. That's a type and a picture of repentance. When you repent, you turn from your wicked ways. See, the Bible said in Psalm 66 and verse 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the word regard there in Psalm 66, 18, the word regard means to pile up, let abhor, let accumulate. If you let sin accumulate and pile up in your heart, the Lord will never hear you. Oh, you must repent. The Bible said the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now has commanded all men everywhere to repent. God said we all must repent. Not many, most few, part or some. Not 99.99%. Not a segment of. Not a few of. But the Bible said we must all repent if we want to go to heaven. I tell you, the Bible said the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. But listen to what Jesus said in Luke 13 and verse 3. Except you repent, you're going to perish. That simply means if you don't repent and let Jesus come into your heart to save you, you'll never get to go to heaven. My friend, note here in verses 39. He was concerned with the other guy. This thief on the right He was on the cross of repentance. He said, Lord, remember me. He makes the statement here in verse 41. He says to this other thief over here, he said, listen, fella, we deserve to be here. We deserve to die. We deserve to go to hell. But he said, this man, speaking of the man on the middle cross, this man had not done nothing amiss. But look here in verse 42, calling out in prayer, he opened up his eyes and he said, Lord, remember me. That's what that cross that thief died on said. He said, Lord, would you just remember me? I know I'm guilty. I know I've got sin in my life, and I'm not pleased with my life. But Lord, I know my only hope is in you. Remember me, Lord, when thou comest into thy kingdom. Now I want you to note today, here was a dying man, here was a discerning man, but here was a delivered man. I tell you, he realized that he was wicked. He had no righteousness in his past, in his present, nor in his future. But he said, Lord, remember me. Look here in verse 43. And the Lord said to that thief on that cross of repentance, he said, verily, verily. That word verily means truly. He said, truly, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. You know, boys and girls, look at it. Look at that cross this morning. That thief said to the Lord, he knew he was lost. He knew he was going to die in a few moments and he'd leave this world. He looked at that man on that middle cross. He said, hey, fella, we deserve to die. But Lord, would you remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom? Jesus looked back at him and said, verily, today. Not next year, not next week, not next month, not next summer, not next winter, but he said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Oh, listen, that morning when that thief got up, that said, Lord, remember me, when he got up down there in that dungeon that day, his day wasn't going too good. I tell you, he was living in sin. And he was a criminal. And he was going to the cross and be nailed there. And in a few hours, he'd die there. And they'd take him out there somewhere and bury him. When he got up that morning, he was in sin. But all by noontime, he had grace in his heart. Now let me explain something to you. When they nailed Jesus on the cross, they nailed him at the third hour of the morning. That's our 9 o'clock. Jesus hung on that cross from the third hour or 9 o'clock in the morning until the ninth hour, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. When that thief over here on the right got up, he was in sin. But all by lunchtime, no doubt he had said, Lord, remember me when you come into thy kingdom. By noontime, he was in grace. He had grace in his heart. All by evening time, he was done dead. But guess where he was? That morning he was in sin. By noontime he was in grace. But that evening he was in glory. Because he said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Oh, listen. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I want us to look at that verse a second. The Bible said the wages of sin is death. That's the cross on the left. That sinner died and he faced death. When the Bible said the wages of sin is death, that word death doesn't mean physical death, but it means eternal death, separated from God forever and forever, never seeing the light of day ever again. That's what the wages of sin is does. And that man on that cross there of rebellion, he had the wages of sin, and that was death. Oh, but look at the cross of repentance. That's that part of the verse of Romans 6:23. But the gift of God is eternal life. Oh, but the life part of it is that middle cross through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I want to look lastly, not only at the cross of rebellion, the cross of repentance, but lastly in closing, I'd like to look at the cross of redemption. That's what sinners must receive. You see, upon that middle cross, that cross was where the Lord Jesus died. And it's on that cross that you and I can find justification. Our life can be wiped clean if we'll put our faith and trust in Christ and Christ alone. Paul said, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity. You see, on that middle cross was where Jesus died, where Jesus shed his blood. And it's through that shed blood that we can find the forgiveness of God. Let me tell you something today. Did you know grace provides the blood, but faith applies the blood? God gave his grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. Christ died for you and me. Give his life that we might have life. Grace provides the blood, but faith. You've got to put your faith in what Jesus done there for you. Now I want you to look at those three crosses right quickly in closing. On those three crosses, one died in scorn, one died in salvation, but the other one died a sacrifice. On one cross, there was a dying sinner. On the other cross was a dying saint. But on the third cross, the middle cross, was a dying Savior. One died in sin, one died from sin, but one died for sin. Those thieves cried out in salvation. Both of them cried out for salvation. One cried out, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. In other words, that's salvation in generality. Hey, folks, God don't save in generality. My friend, but the other was specifically that cross over here, the cross of repentance. That thief said, Lord, remember me when thou comest. In other words, he was asking for forgiveness. On one cross, there was an impenitent thief, that is, sin on him and sin in him. On the other cross was a penitent thief. He had sin in him, but because he trusted to Christ, he had not sin on him. But on the middle cross was a passionate thief, and he was the mediator. He had sin on him, but not sin in him. Oh, I want you to know, on that middle cross, the Roman soldiers thought they'd make Jesus a central figure of all the criminals that died that day. But oh, I'm not convinced of that. I believe he died on that middle cross because he was in the perfect divine will and plan of God. Because Jesus was our mediator. He's the one that goes before the Father for you and me. He's our mediator, our advocate, our go-between. There's only one mediator. The Virgin Mary is not the mediator. Mohammed is not the mediator. Buddha is not the mediator. The Pope of Rome is not the mediator. But oh, Jesus Christ, there's only salvation in him. Let me close by saying today, the clock of life, the clock of life is wound but once, and no man has the power to tell just when the hands will stop at late or early hour. To lose one's wealth. Why, if you lost all the money you had, that'd be a great loss. But to lose your health. Boys and girls, if you went to the doctor today and the doctor said, you not got long to live, that'd be terrible. To lose one's wealth is such a loss. To lose one's health is even more. But to lose one's soul is such a loss that no man can restore. You see, just like the hands on a clock that move clockwise around the dial, that's the way our life is. And one of these days, the hands of your life are going to stop. You're going to die and go out to meet God somewhere. You don't know when that's going to happen. But God gave His Son, the Lord Jesus, to die for you. But I'll say this. A river cannot turn around to run the other way. Nor has a traveler ever returned to the road of yesterday. You can't go back to yesterday. I can't. You can't. You can't go back to last week. We can't go. We don't have the ability. We don't have the power. But God can go back, go back, go back, go back into your past life. And take all of your sins and wipe them off clean if you'll only put your faith and trust in that one that died on that middle cross. Are you saved? Have you passed from death unto life? Does Jesus live in your heart?